But today we're here to talk about, with Reverend Terry, our second noble truth of CSL White Rock. And that is that I am spirit having a human experience. So there's a bunch of questions. Today this may come up, come across as Reverend Terry and I have these conversations, I think, weekly is what started this. And he said, wouldn't it be fun if everybody got to see what we do on a on a Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. to chat. I keep forgetting that. But today as we're discussing the second noble truth, I am spirit having a human experience. So are we spirit or spirits?
Are we spirit? Or are we spirits? Can I back up a little bit?
Oh, okay.
I mean, in the sense that, let me just kind of lay a bit of groundwork before I answer that question.
Okay.
First of all, is this coming through okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Could be louder.
Could be louder. Tech person could be louder. Anyway, here's the deal. Four Noble Truths. And I'm anticipating a question, I think, but I think I need to do this way.
Okay.
So here we are. Four Noble Truths. Where do they come from? Well, I know that walking each other home was said by Ram Dass. I also think that nothing outside of me needs to change so I can be happy came from Terry Cole Whitaker. Today is, I'm not sure where it came from. I think probably Troward and Holmes said it in many, many different ways. But everything flows out of the first one. So if we go backwards, community can be anything, a group of people coming together. It need not be a spiritual community, even though people may call it a spiritual community. It cannot be a spiritual community unless it is animated by spirit. And so when we go back to step three, then we see nothing outside of me needs to change so I can be happy. We can also live that truth because it is spiritual principle. Or in its best form, it is spiritual principle lived out loud. And this is me living the rich, full life that I'm expected to live as spirit, having a human experience. Or it can downgrade into spiritual bypass. And I'm indebted to Sister Elsie Kelly for describing spiritual bypass as putting whipped cream on shit. In other words, it all looks good, but it's still there. Now to spirit having a human experience. There is only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. That's the basis of all of our teaching. And it comes out of the idea, believe it or not, and all of them flow from the same place in consciousness. And I just discovered this the other day. You're all familiar with Genesis 1, right? First chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for create in Hebrew is bara. And it means, literally, to make a relationship. Think about that. The creation of heaven and earth is to make a relationship between heaven and earth. To make a relationship between God and creation. This author, Ilia Delio, who I'm slowly, slowly getting in touch with, says, creation exists because of God, but God exists because of creation. That's the nature of the bara relationship. So, you tell me, are you all spirits having a human relationship? A human experience? Or are you spirit having a human experience? If you know that, if you can answer that, you have delved into the principle of incarnation, and you have solved a problem that has plagued Christianity since the first centuries after Jesus died, where hundreds of people died in the Jesus Wars while people tried to figure out whether Jesus was a man. Was he God? Was he God pretending to be a man? Was he man pretending to be God? And the answer they come up with has not served us. This answer, I am spirit having a human experience, serves humanity and will serve humanity into a future.
So ends the lesson. Well, you've answered all my questions already. So
no.
I'm joking. So we were talking about what value does this offer to adopt this way of looking at life? What value will it bring to my own life?
Great question. Actually, when you told me this was going to be one of the questions, I remember thinking at the time, what a great question. I wonder, what's the answer? We have to go back to this question of incarnation. And what's the point of the whole Jesus story? What's the point of telling a story about a guy who comes to the planet in the most ordinary of ways, right, through the birth canal? And not to say that that's not miraculous, but it is common. And then ends up being someone who says things that are going to be followed for the next 2,000 plus years? The answer, of course, is simple, and that is, if I'm spirit having a human experience, and I can go back to that, I can go back to God is all there is, then what that means is that somehow I am being called to live a bigger life than the one I imagine has been given to me. In other words, I'm being called to examine the life that I'm living in a bigger context, in a larger paradigm. What is the benefit of that? I watched a short clip this morning of Hannah Mate, Hannah Mate, Gabor Mate's daughter, asking him about what's going on in Israel and Palestine. And he said, in the midst of our trauma and our pain and our struggles, it's easy to forget that there are other people in this conflict who are having their trauma, their pain, and their struggle. Living from spirit as a human experience does not allow us to forget that other people are experiencing life too. And it might not be a happy life. And that there's something we can do about that. I look out at Reverend Savannah, and the years that she spent in Ukraine, believing that this teaching could offer something that would transform the life of people who had been deprived of any sense of spirit for many, many, many years. So if you ask, what is it for? What can it be used for? It can literally be used for making the world a better place, beginning with me.
The inner work.
That's the only work
that
there
is. The only work there is. It's so true. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because I think you've touched on it. You know, and it's interesting you bring up what's happening in Israel. And on my Facebook feed yesterday and on social media, what is really being shown right now is, unfortunate, there was a death of Matthew Perry from Friends. And he drowned in his hot tub. And the thing that's interesting is that is everywhere because people can relate, I think, to Matthew Perry. We're not necessarily relating to what's happening in the Ukraine, here in North America. I'm sure if they're in another part of the world, they can relate a lot easier than that. So when Reverend Terry and I were speaking the other day, I had my Science of Mind cards, and it was really interesting. I pulled out one that said creation, and it said, and I thought this was a great question to ask, how are we going to reconcile suffering and lack with the goodness of God? Ernest Holmes says the difficulty is solved when we realize that all creation is an effect. Can you explain that to us in layman's terms? And yes, we do only have another 10 minutes.
Let me put it this way, and this is one of my favorite stories. You may have heard me tell it before. Stretton Smith, who wrote the program, the 4T Prosperity Program, said, he was from West Texas, and he said, if you should ever happen to have to swallow a series of frogs, I suggest you begin with the big frog first. So here's the story. Matter and God are inseparable. And so is the evolutionary principle behind the expression of our life. And evolution requires that certain things pass from visible beingness to the other side, so to speak, so that the higher form, the new paradigm, can express. Ilia Delio says, paradigms change one funeral at a time, meaning that that which has been and is no longer in serving us must be set aside, must die, so that the new can express. A friend of mine, this is a personal story, a friend of mine tried to commit suicide in a very, very efficient way, I have to say. An excess of drugs and an entire quart of brandy. And woke up the next day. And his thought was, oh, the word. I'm not going to drop the F-bomb on you today. Yeah. Went into his bathroom, said, and involved himself in the most projectile vomit that had ever existed. But when he went back to bed, he thought to himself, I'm not supposed to be here. There is no way that I should have survived. If I'm here, there's a reason. Something in him died that day so that something new could live. And that is happening all the time. Evolution is an effect. It is not a cause. That which is all there is cause. And it is involved in our beingness to such an extent that it is calling us to evolve. And by the way, that's Ernest Holmes. Involution, evolution. The effect is a greater, better version of myself. How's that for an explanation?
I think that was very good. Well, it leads me, I'm going to go back now to the question I had before. So with this idea of I am spirit having a human experience, where as humans have we gone wrong with this idea? And I know we don't really look at the word wrong as religious scientists. Can you explain what would even wrong mean then?
Okay. Well, you heard me just refer to it a little bit earlier by talking about spiritual bypass. Spiritual bypass is akin to something I mentioned when I came here a couple of weeks ago, was it?
Yeah.
And I said, we've taken our spirituality, we've prettified it, we've cleaned it up, we've made it look really nice, and we've put it over in the corner where we can look at it. Right? It's all, you know, looks nice. Isn't it great to be so spiritual? You know, here it is, it's right over here. But the truth is that that is using, you know, it's like using spirituality like we use physics. Physics tells us nothing about nature except how it works, right? It doesn't tell us about what life is, it just tells us how life works. If we do that with spirituality, if we take it and we put it over there and we use it for things, we're losing what spirituality is. I'm calling for, and I speak my word, and this is my word, I am calling for a renewal within metaphysics, this movement, that returns us to what is life. What is the spiritual life? What is the deep mystical awareness of what I'm doing here? Not how do I live here better, happier, richer. You know, we've been creating princes and parking spaces for 70 years. Don't you think it's about time we create spiritual beings that are beyond that? Who was it? Judy asked me the other night in class. And by the way, I want to compliment the classroom members. You're doing great work. But Judy said to me the other day, but what's this whole manifesting thing about? And I said, manifesting is about becoming the person for whom that outcome is a natural expression. We treat not to get stuff. I almost did it. We treat not to get stuff. We treat to become the person who gets the stuff. And that is very, very different.
Yes. That is, yes, we treat to become the person that gets the stuff. I love that.
And we already are that. We just need to come to an awareness of it.
We need to come to an awareness of it, yeah. Well, that leads me to this next question. Well, how would you explain that in our day-to-day life that we live in duality, and yet we don't necessarily believe in duality as a religious scientist?
We don't necessarily believe in it. Well, I'd go further than that, and I'd say you don't get to believe in it. If you are a true metaphysician, you do not get to believe in duality. That is done. If you find yourself indulging in it, step back, and as we used to say, give your head a shake, and ask yourself, is this the truth of spirit? And if I'm spirit having a human experience, then is duality the truth of me? And if you find that it is, then it's time to start doing deeper work. Duality is a function of old thought. Old thought. The axial age thought. Good's out there, bad's in here. He's white, he's black, he's this, he's that. That's old thought, tribal thought. It is not inclusive. Jews, Palestinians, tribes. Let me share a story with you. You know that these Abrahamic religions, of which we are one, Christianity is one, all come from Abraham, who didn't have any children. And his wife said to him, "Why don't you have sex with the servant woman? And she can give you a child." And so, of course, Abraham did what his wife said.
Oh, yeah.
And had sex with the servant woman. And she did have a child. His name was Ishmael. And then, lo and behold, God steps in and says, "Oh, Abraham, I know your wife is 97 years old, but she's going to have a child. And you're going to call him Israel, Israel, Ishmael, Israel." Well, of course, once Israel was born, Sarah changed her mind and said, "Well, we can't have this upstart child, servant, the son of a servant, being raised with my son, the legitimate son. You have to get rid of them." And so Abraham listened to his wife and kicked her out with her child and exposed them and left them to die in the desert. But they didn't die. They became the Arab community. They became Islam. They're brothers who hate each other. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Well, that leads me to this other conversation. Yeah, you lent Jill this beautiful book, Creative Ideas. He gave it, and Jill lent it to me, actually. That's how the story goes.
But actually, she called it the book you gave me.
Yes, I did call it the book you gave me. But CSL.org actually is bringing this back out in print.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
so best book ever.
It's a very good book. So I opened it up, of course, as we were talking, and it says, "I see God in every event." So what Ernest Holmes says in here is the divine spirit inhabits eternity, overshadows everything, including human events, indwells our own soul, and is released through our own act. Not God, but we ourselves are the creators and the supporters of moral evils.
Yeah.
So how would you explain that in layman's terms?
I'll use Ernest Holmes' words. Evil is not a cosmic problem. Evil is a human problem. We define evil, it's a personal opinion. And then we do what we've done with God. We hand it on to God and say, "Now this is your idea." You know, it's the old idea, God created man in his image and man has been returning the favor ever since. Okay, maybe I better explain that too. God created man in his image and now we have been creating God in our image. The God that we believe in is The opposite of what Eliodelia is talking about when she says, the not yet God. We're waiting for the not yet God to be incarnated or to appear in us. We are how the not yet God is going to show up. And it is not going to show up with the old paradigms of evil coexisting with good. And according to some traditional Christian belief, in battle constantly with God. Questions like, and you know, I truly admire Stephen, suddenly his name doesn't come to me, British fellow. No, not that one. British, help me out, people. Not that one either. Anyway, who said, oh, you know, if I have a chance to talk to God, I'm going to ask God, how dare you? How dare you create cancer in children? Right? Well, that's ascribing something to God that is purely human. It's an expression coming out of us. Illness is an expression coming out of us. It is not God created. It's us created.
Well, that leads to my last question then for the day. So I'm spirit having this human experience. Why the heck as spirit do I want to experience suffering, cancer in children? Why do I want to experience suffering at all, ill health, losing people, grief? I'm spirit. I'm supposed to be having this birthright of joy. What? Can you touch on that a little bit?
Wow. She's got good questions. Have you noticed? You've probably heard the expression, pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. Jordan Peterson, who I used to think very highly of, he's sort of slipped a little bit for me, but the bottom line is he said something that I think is really interesting. He said, as a human being, the only thing I can really know that is real is pain. And it's so real that in hospice, one of the things that we know what to do is take care of pain. But we cannot take care of suffering. Pain and suffering is that point in our experience in consciousness where emotion, thought, and our physical are all intertwined in a very, very intense way. If we can tease suffering out of our pain, we will see that the suffering itself is mental and emotional. It can become physical, but it is essentially beginning in mind and being propelled by emotion. Why would spirit, God, want to experience suffering? The answer is it doesn't. But we do. And why do we want to experience suffering? That's your question, isn't it? Spirit does not want to, but we do. Why do we want to experience suffering? Well, it's related to an idea which I don't particularly agree with called the Earth School. In other words, that we're here to learn lessons. We are not here to learn lessons. We are here, and lessons are going to be invited into our experience by the choices that we are making. But that's not why we're here. We are here, as Jesus himself said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. That's why we're here. If we have to walk through suffering or pain or sadness or grief or loneliness to get there, that is our choice. Now that's hard stuff to hear. Nobody likes to hear that what is going on in your experience is created by you. But remember, suffering is an idea propelled by emotion. If I believe something deeply enough and feel strongly enough about it, I will suffer. But if I can let go of that idea, then the question is, who would I be without that idea, without that thought, without my attachment to that thought? Who would I be? I'd know myself more as spirit having a human experience.
I'm speechless. That doesn't happen very often. Well, this has been, we'll continue the conversation afterwards. I see our timing here. And so just in closing, Reverend Terry, is there, how would you wrap it up into three things that you'd love us to take away from today?
Okay.
Briefly.
Homework for you. What are you not calling God in your life? In other words, is there something in your life that you cannot identify as God? Take a look at that. Number two, how would you be and how would your life be different if everything that you are not calling God, you got to call blessing? So that thing you do not want to look at that is so painful, and that is so painful it's not God, has to be called blessing. Imagine how your life would look in that moment. I think that's all I got.
Okay. Do you want to close this up with a treatment?
Yeah, I would. I invite you, if you're willing, to close your eyes and join me in this moment. This moment that is so rich in possibility, because I now know that the life that I am living is the life of that one that is creating stars and cells. It is bringing life into the vast, uncharted reaches of space itself. New stars, new gas giants, new expressions of life. And even within me, those cells which are dying are making room for new cells. When I come back here next week, I won't be the same person as I am today, because the cells in me will have changed. And that is miracle. And it is lesson that I am here to embrace the unfoldment of who and what I am with love, with courage, with excitement, and with the desire to be fully myself, authentic, joy-filled, and looking for the new in every moment. That was great. And so it is.
Thank you, Reverend Terry.